Gambling Control Board. We don't typically meet during the month of August. That's always been a goal of mine. However, last month, we didn't have a quorum, so we are meeting today. We'll start with introductions of the board, and I'll begin from my right.
Robert Harmon, board member from Raymond.
Al Schofield, board member from Winthrop.
Barbara Dresser, board member from Saco.
Greg McNeil, board member from Fairfield.
And I'm Tim Doyle, board chair from Turner. And next, I'll have the Attorney General's Office introduce themselves.
Ron Gay from the Attorney General's Office.
And Katie Johnson from the Attorney General's Office.
And finally, I'll ask our Executive Director to introduce himself and his staff.
Morning. Mel Champion, Executive Director. I don't think I've ever mentioned that in the very beginning, but anyway. With us today is Janet Joyner, Assistant to the Commissioner. Kathy Robitaille is our Executive Assistant. Mallory Riley handles licensing. Lenny Yaskowik handles the auditing area. Vicki Gardner is our Inspector Supervisor. And Don Armstrong, Detective of the State Police.
Excellent. Thank you. And that brings us to approval of the minutes. We have first the minutes of June 19th. Those were sent to the board prior to the meeting for review.
I'll move them.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from June. Anything from anybody on the board? Seeing none, those in favor? Those are approved. And then we have non-minutes from July 24th, which is essentially that we were here without a quorum. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of July 24th.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A second. Those in favor? That's unanimous. So that brings us to the Executive Director's Report, Mr. Champion.
Okay, good morning. From the operations standpoint, in June, there were 14 shipments of machines and or associated equipment shipped to or from licensed facilities. On-site inspectors completed 638 observations, 33 checklists. There were 9 minor violations being monitored in our activity log. There was 1 patron complaint and 2 dispositions. The formal reports were sent from to the members for review per statute. In June, there were 10 self-exclusions. In July, there were 23 shipments of machines and or associated equipment shipped into the facilities. On-site inspectors completed 638 observations, 36 checklists. There were 6 minor violations being monitored from an activity log. We had no patron complaints and 1 disposition of formal reports were sent to members for review. And also in July, there were 19 self-exclusions. For the month of June 2018, we have identified an increase of 10.5% in total tax revenue for both facilities versus June 2017. Year to date, we have identified an increase of 7.2% versus last year at the same time. Oxford reported 10.5% win for the month of June from slots and 23.2% win from table games. Oxford's payback percentage for June was 89.5% with an average gross win per slot machine of $248.83. In June, Hollywood reported 10.6% average win for the month with slots and 27.1% win from table games. Hollywood's payback percentage from June was 89.4% with an average gross win per machine of $165.84. For the month of July 2018, we identified an increase of 0.5% in total tax revenue for both facilities versus July 2017. Year to date, we've identified an increase of 6.1% versus last year at the same time. Oxford reported 9.9% win for the month of July from slots and 21.6% win from table games. Oxford's payback percentage for July was 90.1% with an average gross win per machine of $259.39. Hollywood reported a 9.63% average win for the month of July from slots and 21.6% win from table games. Hollywood's payback percentage for June was 90.4% with an average gross win per machine of $155.90. And that is my report.
Okay. Any questions of the Executive Director? Seeing none. That brings us to the State Police Report. We have with us Detective Armstrong.
Yeah, good morning. Over the last several months, there have been an increase in applications for gaming license to this office. We've been working on getting those licenses investigated. So since the last meeting, 71 new applications were received and processed. Also, since the last meeting, 104 renewal licenses were investigated, and we continue to work on the pending licenses still out there. For criminal activity, there have been 14 thefts. For 12 of those thefts, all of the funds were recovered. The other two, an agreement was made between the casino and the suspect to pay the funds back. The other theft, the party wanted to prosecute, so I located the suspect and issued him a criminal summons. Both casinos have had some counterfeit bills while conducting the count. They have been submitted to the Secret Service, and there were no suspects in those. We also have been receiving complaints involving nonprofit gaming. We have been looking into them and currently working with the AG's office to see how we can proceed in the future. And calls for service for local police departments. Oxford had 50. That also includes parking lot, hotel stuff. Never received anything from Bangor.
That's very important.
Can you expand a little bit more on the nonprofit gaming? Is this Dino Express?
And Mr. Champion probably be able to explain a little bit better, but that the nonprofit, not dealing with the casinos, have been sent over to us now.
Right. Administrative licensing portion.
Correct. And so when those complaints come in on things that are happening out there, they call us and we try to look into them as best we can.
Good. I just wanted to make sure that the board continues to be aware, the public listening understands that it's not really a board prerogative, it's the Department of Public Safety has received expanded duties.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Any questions of the detective? Seeing none, let you off easy. All right, that brings us to unfinished business. First up on unfinished business would be the updates on the RFPs that are out and pending.
Yes. We have the financial RFP was republished for proposals. They were due August 8th. We did have four submissions, and the review committee is set to meet on September 12th to make a recommendation to the board at the September meeting. ADW rules, and I was going to make this announcement last month, but the ADW rules we did go through and have final adoption, became effective June 23rd, 2018, so the rules are good to go. The ADW RFP language was returned to me after procurement review, and I'm working on the comments made. There was actually several. Once accepted by procurement, it will go to legal for their review and then be presented to the board in the same fashion that we're doing with the central monitoring system today. Okay, next obviously will be the central monitoring system. I forwarded the completed review by legal and by procurement. I did have a few late comments yesterday or the day before from Katie. They were only really grammatic changes, and so I would probably make those changes before I actually returned or sent the RFP for publication. I don't know if you wanted to make any comment, Katie, on any of those or not.
Yeah, I mean, if the board is going to approve the RFP today, thank you. If the board is going to approve the RFP today, I just want to make you aware of some of my suggestions. There were some, you know, minor typo changes that I recommended not changing. There was, on pages 9, 10, and 47, the wrong section was referenced. It references section 1015, but that governs the licensing of gambling service employees, not vendors, so it should be section 1014. There also, and on a couple of pages, it mentions key executive employee as a licensing level. That's not a licensing level here in Maine, so it's just employee, so I recommend deleting that. And then also on pages 9 and 10, and then later in the certification of no conflict interest section, the first section mentions that a successful bidder can't be a casino operator, and then the conflict of interest section mentions that the bidder cannot be a slot machine operator. So I just think the language should be consistent you know, should the bidder not be a casino operator, slot machine operator, or one or the other? You know, that's up to the board, but that should probably be consistent and be clarified.
Was the law ever changed? I think the initial reference was slot machine operator because we didn't have casinos.
Right.
So probably casino operator would be the correct, but we should probably be consistent with the statute.
Yeah, well, that's not, I think that's up to the board, you know, as far as what the bidder should not be, you know, to avoid any sort of conflict of interest. So I don't believe there's anything specific in statute about that.
Yeah, and I guess my point is they're really synonymous in my mind, probably the board's mind. Ron, you?
I think, it perhaps be overly inclusive, put both. I mean, I can foresee, I know there's only two entities that are licensed, but I can foresee that potentially there could be, as previously existed in this state, people who only have slot machines. And I can't imagine it ever would be the case, but I think from a legal perspective, it would be possible to have a casino without slot machines. So it seems to me if this is monitoring of slot machines, the proper conflict would be with the slot machines. I'm not sure how the central site monitoring system would interact with, for example, table games. That's not clear to me. So I would suggest that if you're only going to choose one, it'd be slot machine operators.
I would agree.
Those were my only recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the board have any questions for Kate or Ron? No. Is the board satisfied with using the term slot machine operator consistently? Okay, are there any, before we leave this RFP, are there any other questions of the executive record? Do you have any other issues?
No, not at all.
Okay.
We're ready to go. You know, the fortunate thing about this RFP, and it shouldn't be anything considered in the deciding factor, but when we asked for a year extension, we were only given 6 months. And so the January deadline is coming up very quickly, so.
Anything else from the board? So the proper motion to approve this is to approve the RFP, and from here it's going to go to procurement?
From here it goes, I'll enter the publishing dates, then I'll go back to procurement for publishing, and then we'll take the bids.
And it'll be released.
Yeah, right now we're at the publishing stage and ready to take the bids.
So I believe the motion would be to approve the RFP with the changes recommended by Kate. Somebody willing to make that motion? We have a motion. We have a second. That's right. Anything else from the board? Seeing none, those in favor? It's approved. Yes. That's one.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Okay. The last meeting we had in June, there was a subject matter that came up regarding child support and the withholding or not claiming jackpots at the casinos. We don't have a lot, there was only a few, but it's kind of a little, I guess, pet peeve maybe most people have, but Katie was able to reach out. And I'll ask Katie to speak on this as well. Katie was actually able to speak out to DHHS, and we've got now a contact, which I'll distribute. I haven't had the time because this information just came in the last 24 to 48 hours. We do have a contact now at DHHS that we can notify them if, in fact, someone does not claim a jackpot, and she has the ability to step in and create a lien and be able to get the money or take the money through whatever means they do from a legal standpoint. But I guess Katie, you'd be better to kind of describe how that process would be.
Sure, yeah, if someone doesn't claim a jackpot and the casino knows that person is, you know, listed in the child support registry, DHHS, probably with the assistance of our office, would get what's called an order to withhold and deliver. which would, you know, order the casino to provide the funds to DHHS. Or if necessary, they could go to court to get an order. So there is a mechanism for DHHS to get those funds.
So the question I would have, because it's, this is kind of a tangled web. I think everyone's goal is we want the families to receive the money that they should get to take care of the kids, right? That's the goal of this. Makes sense. If this money is not claimed by an individual, then it's never really income for that person, right? And so their goal in not reporting it is to not have to forfeit the money. If the DHHS steps in and takes the money from the casino, is that then considered somehow income for the individual that actually won the jackpot?
You know, it's my understanding, I didn't discuss that issue with the, I spoke with the department head of the Division of Child Support in our office. We didn't get into that issue, so I'd have to do a little more research to figure that out. But it's my understanding, she was not concerned about this. A lien is created by operation of law, and DHHS is entitled to those funds.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if the income issue, I would have to do a little more research on to figure that out.
And would the casino report that as a winning?
Yes.
So, Ron?
This is almost like falling into the self-exclusion discussion we had several months ago with the idea that possession, and I know Ron's probably going to touch base on that, but actually having or taking possession. So in this case, I'm really not sure, you know, where that would fall under, but Ron probably would have.
Yeah, this is my understanding based on general concepts of law, not particular. There may be special rules around child support and so on and so forth. The difference between an excluded person, that person is barred by operation of law to receive the money, therefore they never have control of it. Even though theoretically the child support person never receives the money or control of the money, the money is used to satisfy a debt that they have, and that satisfaction of debt would, I believe, constitute the definition of income. So the fact that they didn't have control of the money and write the check to pay the debt, I think it's still a satisfaction of a debt. I would suggest that, I think these are going to be pretty extraordinarily rare events. I don't think it's going to put a burden on our regulated community, the casinos. If they're aware, if they have a reasonable suspicion, then they would contact the contact number that Milt will provide them. DHHS would then do the heavy lifting. They would be the people doing the investigation. And because ultimately they would have to obtain the relief in court, not the casinos. We would not expect the casinos to act on behalf of DHHS. So I think it's not, I know there was a concern, spoke to some members of the regulated community, they didn't want to have sort of being now detectives for DHHS, and I think this resolution is a very good resolution. But I would suggest that if they have a reasonable belief, that they contact the DHHS people that they have, and then let DHHS take care of it.
Yeah, we'll contact the executive director and make the connection.
Absolutely.
Is the board interested in exploring the income piece further? Greg and I are not going to be here. That's up to the three of you. Okay.
No, I think it sounds like it's something that we can work out with the facilities. It's not an extra burden, as Ron said, with the facilities. It's just a mere fact of somebody making that contact, and then the facilities being served with the request of release to them, the funds, and then I fully agree with Ron as well, is that the way that's going through, it's more apt to be income than not. So I think we're good to go.
Okay. No other questions on that. We'll move on. I think next up is new business.
Okay. When I first came on in November of 2016, we chairman established a process of developing resolutions to better track the executive director or delegated authority to the executive director position. And so to date, we have 11 resolutions. And when I first came on board, the former director left me a list, and I sent to the board members that list that was given to me. And what I did do is go through and take away what I thought were already resolutions or resolutions that we had already made. And then I kind of highlighted those that maybe we haven't received or haven't put into a formal resolution, and suggested that we either do it or have a conversation and not be delegated, so forth and so on. Eventually we got down to, I think there was three that were on the agenda. One was to negotiate contracts, the other one was an action to prevent or to protect public safety, and then the third one was to approve temporary licenses. Katie looked at these three from a statutory standpoint, and I'll ask Katie to talk on the two areas, and then I think the second one, action to protect public safety, I think we just need a little bit of a background on that as to how that was established and the reason thereof, because I've even had a conversation with at least one of the facilities, was a little curious as to, you know, where that directive came from. So we'll talk about them after, if it's okay, after Katie's described her two areas.
Sure. And there were a couple that the executive director had brought forward. One was issuing of subpoenas and taking oaths. And I chose as chair not to bring those forward to the board. The other one was to resolve some investigations that were not otherwise delegated previously in some of the earlier delegations.
Oh, the consent agreement?
Consent agreement.
The order, yeah, going to consent agreement on investigations.
Yeah, so his review is led us to talk about these three issues, and now Kate, if you wanna, with that as a backdrop, go forward.
Sure, I'll just take them one at a time. So the first one, potential resolution topic would be negotiating contracts. I think arguably the director already has the power to negotiate contracts. Under the board statute, it's the power to enter into contracts that must be delegated, not negotiating. And then we have the action to protect public safety. You want to deal with that later, or do you want to go through it now?
Yeah, let's do the two
okay.
First, and then we'll come back to that one.
And then the other one, potential resolution topic, is approving temporary licenses. I think under section 1015 of your statute, no resolution would be needed, because that section 1015 makes the temporary license automatic. So I don't think we need a resolution at all on either of those two. The only caveat with the first one, negotiating contracts, is that under section 1003 of your statute, it does say that in administering and enforcing this chapter, the board or the director, as delegated by the board, may, and in J it says, negotiate consent agreements to resolve administrative violations or investigations. So that's the only negotiation of some sort of contract that might have to be delegated. But other than that, I think it's squarely within the director's power.
And I think that delegation, in terms of consent agreements, has been previously dealt with.
Right.
Yeah, we're just trying to round out the list. My goal was, 14 years ago when this kind of was getting started, authorities to the executive director were delegated at meetings, and they were contained in the minutes. Well, I don't know how anybody could ever research 14 or 20 years worth of minutes to figure out what was previously delegated. My goal was to get everything in a book and tracked and online, so that if there's ever a question, future boards can say, yeah, we delegated that authority from the board to the executive director. So if you don't think the law, or you think the law already allows for this, then I think we can take it off the list. And I think then going forward, those that are left on the board, when new delegations take place, they should be done in the resolution fashion and forever documented.
Yeah, I think those two particular ones, negotiating contracts and the approving temporary licenses, I think that's already, the director already has that power.
Okay.
So.
So that leaves us with taking action in the interest of public safety.
Right.
That was on there. My recollection of what that was all about, others can jump in, is things are gonna happen between meetings that may require the executive director to do something in the interest of public safety that might be the board's prerogative. And I don't know what that might be. And sometimes it would be more expedient for the executive director to handle something. I think the process calls for notifying the chairman of the board and then resolving it at a board level when the board can meet, or just can't meet at the drop of a hat. So I think that's why that was delegated in the past. I don't know the specific issue. It wasn't while I was on the board. That was something that was here prior to 7 years ago, but something worth talking about, I guess. Ron, you had something?
Yeah, I think it might be helpful also to understand the concept of protect the public safety. Certainly that is a an obligation of this board, but the relationship in the statute and the way the pieces fit together, and I know we've had this discussion before, this board sits in judgment of potential violations. So you folks are like judges, if you will. That's the best analogy I could use. You're a panel of five judges. You look at your laws, you look at your rules. Rulemaking essentially is an advanced pronouncement of what you think your laws say, and it's enforceable as a law. So that's what you do. And then to the extent that we have a violation where a resolution has not been reached with the licensee, you folks sit in judgment whether or not there has been proven that there's a violation and then what the consequence of that should be. That is sort of your job. That is the essence of your job. You also, I mean, but that's not it. But in terms of protecting the public safety, I think that's the role you play in that. The department is tasked in the statute. The department shall must investigate all of these things. And then the department will report to this board the findings of their investigation. We're probably 97% of the time, the reports you get are after the fact, after things have been agreed to, notice of violations have been issued, and the counterparty doesn't disagree. So that's the enforcement piece. The department does that. And I don't think the board, I can't picture anything the board would have to delegate to the department. The department is the department. The board is a special purpose vehicle, a very specialized unit of that department. The board exists within the department for a very specific purpose. You guys are subject matter experts at casino gambling and in gambling laws, and you use that expertise to decide disputes and to adopt rules. In terms of investigating complaints and stuff like that, that's sort of the enforcement piece. That's the department. So I have really struggled to think of what this board would have to delegate. You can't delegate to the prosecutor the ability to decide whether or not there's a violation. You can't delegate that. That you have to keep. You can't delegate rulemaking. So,
yeah.
In summary, I'm not sure what you could possibly delegate in that respect.
I understand that as well. We're operating off a list that the former executive director had created from something that was delegated. I assume something happened in the last 14 years that necessitated that action. In the absence of not being able to articulate what it was, I don't know, but that was one of the issues that we needed to bring forward. And so I'm hearing at the end of the day, there's probably, at this point, no resolutions that require formulation. So with that, we probably will close this unless there's something from the remainder of the board.
Well, and one of the things when I had the discussion with Mr. Flores from Hollywood Casino was because of the way that it was worded, and it talked about protecting safety, patron safety, we were talking about avalanches and hurricanes and all this stuff, and I don't necessarily think that that was the intent, the way it was written. I think it was written that way because there's other areas in the statutes and the rules where it talks about protecting the public interest and public safety. So I think if we were to do anything with this, the way it's worded now, is would be to just add and say public safety in regard to gaming, or in regard to gambling, or regard to, you know what I mean? I don't think it's that whole protective, you know, like wealth and general welfare and all that sort of thing. I think it's more limited towards, you know, some type of gaming question that would jeopardize, you know, the integrity of the game and so forth being presented to the public.
Yeah. Our interest is not to create resolutions for the sake of creating them.
Right.
It's to, you know, expedite the processing and the handling of issues that might come up. I'm going to guess that sometimes in the next 10 years, something's going to come up and you guys are going, that was it. And then you'll create a resolution and handle it. So I don't think we need to do anything today. Anything else from the resolution standpoint or anything from the board regarding resolutions?
Okay. I'm not sure if you're moving the public comment, but if you were going to do that prior to that, I wasn't sure. Well, there was an issue before the meeting regarding the financial RFP. Is that something we want to get on the record?
Yeah, I think we should. I skipped right by that. So we're getting ready to have RFP review committees meet on each of these factions, and people have been appointed to the RFP committee. Mr. Champion was due to be on it, and he had a conflict of interest that he reported, which is necessitated finding someone else to serve. We've talked to Al Schofield, board member, who's sitting in, and Ron, if you can put on record what the conflict, perceived conflict could be, and then we'll talk through it.
Sure. It was a question posed to board counsel, or me, or board counsel, the two of us, regarding whether or not Colonel Schofield would be able to sit on the RFP review board for the financial services. And my understanding is that one of the bidders is an entity that happens to serve an entity, when I say serve, they provide financial and accounting and audit type of services to the larger state of Maine, and that in regard to Colonel Schofield, his employer also happens to retain this entity because, again, they offer their services to the public. Since he would be in a position of being able to cast a vote towards the selection of various vendors who are competing for the contract, he raised the issue to see whether or not there was a concern with his being able to participate on that subpanel, given the fact that his employer uses them. In discussing this with Colonel Schofield, Colonel Schofield does not have any direct relationship with the vendor. Colonel Schofield sits on a board and receives information from the vendor, but he does not have the power to determine who the employer or the board selects as a vendor. So in my opinion, since I could not see a way that he could leverage a decision in the Gambling Control Board selection process to benefit his employer, I advise Colonel Schofield that I did not see a conflict with him participating in the review panel. So just wanted to get that on the record, that the issue was raised by Colonel Schofield. I appreciate his doing that, but based on my review of the facts, I would recommend that there's not an issue and that he would be able to participate.
Anything else from employer is probably a strong term. It's another volunteer position. More volunteer work.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for that, and that's on the record. So that brings us to public comment. Is there anybody here that would like to address the board? Okay. Seeing none, before we break, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Greg for his service to the board. This is going to be your last meeting as well as my last meeting, and I appreciate the time you put in. I know in retirement you've been busy, life is full, and I hope that you go on, have a long and full life, and enjoy yourself. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And from my standpoint, I'd like to thank a bunch of people. I've served 7 years here as chair. I'd like to thank the governor and the commissioner for having confidence in me to bring. I've enjoyed the public service. I've got to give back to the state I love. I've worked with some really good people. I've made some really good friends. I've gotten to serve with some old friends, and it's been good. And I think I'll be back to public service at some point. I don't know where it'll be, but someplace down the road. So with that, it's my last meeting. We'll meet again September. The agenda said the 18th. The meeting will actually be the 25th of September. My understanding is the legislature is moving forward with appointments that will occur in September, and that there'll be at least two new board members here. Mr. Harmon's been reappointed and will be going through a confirmation process again for his second term. So with that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Take that as a second. All those in favor, we stand adjourned.